97.5 The Fanatic.
How's everybody doing this afternoon? Sunday afternoon, Eagles bye week. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic until 6 o'clock, actually slightly before. We'll turn you over to the Sixers pregame show with Brian Seltzer. The Sixers going to host the Hornets at the center this afternoon. I guess that becomes evening at 6 o'clock. And they're going to try to snap a three-game losing streak. So we can kind of set the table for the Sixers and the Hornets. They will play the Hornets tonight. They will play the Cavaliers on Tuesday. The Hornets come into town having played last night and losing to the Pelicans at home. So they drop to 4-5. The Cavs will come to town 3-5. And then the Sixers will head out again for 3 on the road. Orlando, OKC, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Really, they could win the next 5 games, and I wouldn't be surprised. And I bring that up while I read the Inquirer this morning, and I was reading Marcus Hayes, who said, in his opinion, the Eagles could run the table for the rest of their schedule, which would be winning 7 in a row, including the next 2 against the Patriots and the Seahawks, both of which are at home. So that is high optimism for the Eagles. And then right across the page from that was Les Bowen's article that was saying what happened with the Eagles receivers that were so highly touted going into this season. And now you are left with what you have, which is a passing game that has not come to fruition at all. We know the whole DeSean Jackson story, and that he is not returning, and what that does in terms of having a deep threat. Mac Hollins, we know what he has not been. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, we understand he has not been a target either. And then you have your starters of Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. So, but it's just interesting that two people can present something that has... One has high optimism, and the other, I don't want to say, the other was just analyzing where one, where the product was thought to be so highly regarded at the onset of this season. And now here is a team that is 5-4 with 7 games remaining. It is a favorable schedule. And I think watching the Cowboys game tonight will be interesting, because if they come out of that having a loss to the Vikings, that, well, it definitely sets a table that the game in December against the Cowboys here at the Link has so much greater a possibility of being up for grabs would be the NFC champion or NFC the NFC East title. So we can talk about the Eagles and the schedule. Cowboys versus theirs. We know the Cowboys is much more difficult, beginning with tonight's game, but I think tonight's game is the big, I don't know, maybe it's just because it's in front of us. If they could take care of the Vikings, that would not bode well for the Eagles. But their schedule still gets harder as you go down the line. Still, I would say their result tonight looks or impacts how you go into Eagles-Patriots, Eagles-Seahawks, if you're already behind them in the division standings, more so than if you are even after tonight's game. So we'll see. How do you feel watching the rest of the football schedule today with the Eagles having a bye week? And also, how do we feel about the Sixers? I do stand, I don't stand corrected because it hadn't come out yet. I kept looking yesterday during my time on the air for the, I call it the L2M. It's the last 2-minute report that the NBA puts out on games. And they do it daily, but it was not out before I was off the air. And I was looking to see how they would grade or correct or evaluate the final play or final Sixers possession, I should say. And in fact, the NBA did come out and say that was a foul on Jokic. and not on Joel Embiid. It was called an offensive foul on Joel Embiid, and it was an incorrect call. So I guess that terribly changes how you feel about how that game ended, because it ends up being a 3-point loss, but Embiid catches that ball and either he goes to the line and can shoot those two free throws, or I guess if there's no call, right? No call, I could have been possible, but they say it should have been a foul on Jokic. He goes to the line and I'll take my chances with a guy who's an 83% free throw shooter. He had missed two already in that game. I believe he was 2 for 4 from the foul line. And he did look tired. And, you know, often that impacts how he goes to the line if he makes or doesn't make those. So, but that report did come out yesterday afternoon and said it was the incorrect call. Jokic was the one who fouled. And on the replay, you could see that he did hook him. My stance was I didn't know what happened before that. Did the guy see something before that? But as it turns out, the NBA says no, and that impeded Embiid from being able to get his position or catching the ball. And so the result could have been different and could have been a win in the Sixers column. And I will say this, Brett Brown, who did a very good job of restraining himself after the game, saying he had no comment. I don't even think he used no comment. He said, I have no words to describe that play or that call. I think that's paraphrasing slightly. But that should have said volumes, because he probably had already seen the replay, because they all have those iPads right then and there. And before he came out, he has at least 15 minutes. So he definitely knew that it was the wrong call. And instead, the Sixers concluded that West Coast swing with a 1-3 record and now are 5-3 on the year. However, as I set the table with, their next five are such winnable games and they could easily be 10-3 five games from now. Easily. Because they are that talented. It does not change the fact that they have flaws that do need to be addressed, but I think when they play the lesser talents in this league, and they are going to play lesser talents coming up in the five games that I just said, beginning with the Hornets this evening, that, you know, they can have those flaws and still do well, and definitely on their home floor. I think they are a very, very good home team. They were last year, and actually that built from the year before. Last year, I believe they won 31 games at home. 31-8. Does that add up? No. 33-8, possibly. They're a very good home team, and I think they feed off of that crowd. Should be a fun atmosphere down there tonight, because it is a 6 o'clock start, so that gives families a chance to go down there if, in fact, you're worried about your kids and it being a school night. So where are your concerns with the Sixers, if at all, or as you turn the page after that West Coast swing and look at the schedule, are you optimistic, even if it's not 5-0, 4-1, and you would be in pretty good shape after this next five-game stretch? Ben Simmons will not play tonight. He will be reevaluated tomorrow with the shoulder strain, the AC joint of his right shoulder. One report says that he would be out 3 games, and this will be the second. But again, he will be reevaluated tomorrow. I anticipate that he will also sit the Tuesday game, only because when he spoke to Keith Pompey on that road trip, that he said he was not going to come back until he felt 100%. And I just think from a time standpoint and looking at the schedule, that Tuesday night is the front end of a back-to-back. And on Wednesday, they will play at Orlando. That's a game I'm interested in. Markelle Fultz is getting significant time and has actually moved into their starting lineup. Though they don't have a lot of wins to speak of, but it's still an interesting matchup from a player standpoint. So anyhow, do you have any concerns there? And if you are looking at the Eagles and the Cowboys in terms of schedule, and winning the division. I know on paper it looks so easy to say the Eagles' schedule is so much easier. But how much are you putting weight on tonight's outcome of the Cowboys hosting the Vikings and that being a loss? That being a loss. Because that makes a big difference in my book. It does. 610-632-0975. D-line, I'm with you until Sixers pregame. Again, it's a 6 o'clock start down there at the center. Sixers Hornets coming up this evening and should be a fun contest and one where the Sixers snap their 3-game losing streak. We'll go to the phone lines and we'll check in with Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, how are you today? And thank you for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, from last week to this week, it was Saturday, but today's tomorrow, and I didn't want to wait, who knows, in that period of time, D, but I want to say, because I'd feel like a hypocrite, if I didn't commend you as far as the job you've done, to get a, I hate to say it this way, but maybe understand, you know, a woman's viewpoint, who I thought in the back of my mind, testosterone driven, that you were gleaning off, you know, your father's type of thing. But in hearing you driving, sitting behind the wheel and letting the lights come down, you're blasting off. You're making that quarter mile and much further. So I just want to say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Now, let's make it short because I got the important thing out of the way.
that may not be the important thing. You might have thoughts that are more important than that.
At this particular time, the light, that was the most important. But I, other than the fact Golden Tate's going to look like an effective receiver for the Giants, you will jump in on that. But the Sixers, not going to complain. We all have established different things that the players need to take and improve upon. Because they don't have a three-point shooter. One that you can go automatically, yes, he's a three-point shooter. They're maybe trying to develop, see if they got a three-point shooter.
Yes.
What is your feeling as far as Brett Brown is going to be able to get the rotations, get players on the floor that work together? Because the Sixers have to work so much harder than other teams, even though they have the talent to score, that... What is your feeling as far as Brett Brown being able to come across and develop rotations and in game situations?
Well, I'm going to back up one before I answer your final part of that. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was a little frustrated in reading was maybe because it was all last year also. You know, this is a new group. They're just trying to get mm-hmm. to know one another.
Right.
But I think if you look around the NBA, isn't every team that anymore because mm-hmm. of the movement that right. happens, right?
Right?
So I'm looking at a Boston Celtics team mm-hmm. that lost a Kyrie and lost an Al Horford.
Right.
And who isn't going to tell me that isn't significant?
Yeah.
Right? And yes. they're 7-1.
Yeah. Brad Stevens coaching you. I mean... I hate to put that label genius, but...
And a Raptors team, in fairness, after I say both of these, Raptors mm-hmm. lose a Kawhi and a Danny Green.
Right.
And they're still above the Sixers in the standings right now, but we're still complaining to our fan base that we're trying to get to know one another. The Lakers roster is so turned over.
Right.
But they have a LeBron and an AD. And my point being mm-hmm. that if you have superstars, which we are... being sold that you have,
yeah.
then please do not keep trying to tell me I am the one that needs to be patient.
Mm-hmm. I know you're going to let someone else talk, but I can't think of the year. Nigel Terry back in the day and Ann Murray, and this is going to sound strange. Morgana has now destroyed. I mean, Arthur is now by himself. You know, Lancelot has done flipped out because of the trans, you know, the illicit thing with Guinevere. And it's like, it was the movie, Excalibur. And it was like, the part that sticks in my mind was, Arthur says, you know, Guinevere was my sufferance and Lancelot was my shield. He said, they're both gone. And Merlin is now in a hiatus, you know. It is time for me to be king. And I just want these princes to start to be kings.
And your princes would be Simmons and Embiid, I assume?
Ding, 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 ding.
Excellent, Jerome. Thank you for the phone call. And thank you for the analogy. I have to say I was educated there because I didn't know where that was going. Yeah, at some point, being king, or just owning that if we keep saying they are on the same level as other teams' supers, and we see other teams doing it, and in terms of the chemistry, I can't go there. Now, if you want to tell me, look, Embiid has missed 3 of the 8 games. Simmons is now missing his second straight and was out for basically 3/4 of that other game. So 2 3/4, 2.5, however we want to say. Okay, but we also have talked about the depth that this roster was built with. I think you just have to step into your place, own it, do the job, and, you know, the principles that you are making this team about, defense is a huge part of it. Three-point shooting, I would agree with everybody. It's not consistent. But I think people who have been put in roles, Tobias Harris probably has come up short of what we expect him to be right now. Josh Richardson's offense right now, not great. Al Horford has been tremendous, but in the last 2 games, I would say he looks tired, even as tired as an Embiid. And why Embiid looks tired, I don't know. But it's nothing that's new. And so maybe at some point there needs to be an explanation there for why is this guy constantly looking like he's not conditioned. I mean, I really, that one is so hard for me to understand. 610-632-0975. Barry's with us in Abington. Barry, how are you today? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, you're a breath of fresh air. You're very realistic, and I like that. Let me try to put this in perspective. The Phillies got Bryce Harper. We were all optimistic about the Phillies. They got a great guy in left field, a shortstop, Cingora. We were really optimistic.
We were.
And then with the Eagles, we thought they'd be 13-3.
The problem, in both cases, we fell for teams that were built on offense,
right,
that then came up short offensively.
Exactly right. And therefore, in the offseason, we were pinning our hopes on the Sixers.
Yes.
And now, to a certain extent, they're disappointing us, but it's so early. But that's why we're overreacting, because the attack. Put it on top of the Phillies and the Eagles. We've had 3 that haven't come out right.
Right, I see what you're saying. Well, in fairness, the early part of the Phillies was actually, they had us, didn't they, in the first month?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the end,
it was so brutal. Yeah.
So this is a carryover from them and maybe the Eagles, because the Eagles are not 13-3 team.
No, they're not.
I just thought I'd point that out.
You know what, Barry? It's an excellent point, and I appreciate that. I will say, I did start the program by saying they absolutely could go 5-0 in the next 5.
That's good.
And we're talking about a 10-3 team. So
I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's why I like your realism. It helps us.
Thank you, Barry.
Thanks, Mark.
Have a great rest of your Sunday. I'm reminding myself what day it is. By the way, for the first caller who was looking at Golden Tate, he has 3 receptions for 82 yards. Now, when I left my house, the Jets were winning this game against the Giants, and now the Giants are ahead 27-24. So the battle in New York is quite entertaining from a score standpoint. Yeah, and when I look at the Eagles' schedule, because they are teams that don't have good records, I do get a little nervous. Because to automatically check win next to a team that has underperformed to date, right? So you have 1 against the Redskins, 2 against the Giants, 1 against the Cowboys, and 1 against the Dolphins after New England and the Seahawks. Just to say 5 of those, because you can have your opinion of do you go 2-0 against New England and Seattle, do you go 1-1, you know, or 0-2? I mean, depending on where your perspective is, those two are obviously very good teams. And however you see that, I would understand that. But I think a lot of people just automatically look at those final 5 and say wins. What I see is winnable, but not automatic. And I guess just to go to reading the optimism of the one article in the paper today and then the other, which to me is very realistic about the underperformance of who they are offensively. Now, these last couple of games where the running game has come to life, that brings a whole new topic to the table. And certainly if they continue to run the ball like they have, that would change perspective. But to date, have they ever committed to the run under Peterson to the degree that this group probably needs it to be successful for the rest of the way? It'll be interesting and entertaining. And if they do it, kudos to Peterson for recognizing that his offensive weapons are not what possibly it looked like on paper. And this is the best route to success. 610-632-0975. I am D-Line. I will be with you until 6 o'clock. It will be the Sixers and the Hornets right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. How do you feel as the Sixers return home after dropping the final three of their four-game West Coast swing, including that 100-97 loss to the Denver Nuggets, where yesterday the NBA admitted the final call on the Sixers' offensive possession was the wrong call? 610-632-0975. Scott, you're up next on the other side. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Sixers Hornets, a 6 o'clock start tonight at the center. Sixers coming home after a four-game West Coast swing. And this is a team that we've been told is built on their defense and their length. So just looking at a couple of defensive categories, because actually, in terms of their opponent's field goal percentage, that is not one where they are doing well. They are actually 20th in the league in that. But they, in terms of rebounding, they're 6th in the league. In terms of steals, they are tied for 1st. And in terms of blocks, they are also tied for 6th in the league. Unfortunately, some other categories, and the one that really bothers me beyond, only because it has been consistently the high number year after year after year, and that is they are tied for 3rd most turnovers in the league at 18 per game. And the other night it was Joel Embiid who had 8 turnovers in his game against Denver, and honestly that was one of the worst performances I've seen of Joel. You know, you can look and say, well, he was 6 of 17. He finished with 19 points, 15 boards. He had the one amazing defensive play where he blocked Paul Millsap, but it was so much more than that because he had gone to help. Then he went back. Then he came to block. Then he started a fast break that ended up with a Furkan Korkmaz jumper. All that was good in that moment, but honestly, his energy, or lack thereof, actually, and his ability to move really stood out as just very lethargic. And I don't know if something is bothering him or if his conditioning is really that bad. And I'll be anxious just to see how he moves tonight, because that was a lethargic performance by Joel Embiid. And this man has only played 5 of the first 8 games of this season. And to look like that is, I don't know, a little bit troublesome to me. Let's check in with Scott in the Northeast. Scott, thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Just fine, thanks. I'm okay with where the Sixers are at. Look, they were very competitive, and they weren't at full strength. It was a tough road trip. But I have a question for you. Well, actually, a couple questions.
Sure.
Seibel looks like a pretty good defensive player so far, right?
Well, he didn't play the other night, but
Right, but he's very active, right?
Yes, I like his, he gets in passing lanes, maybe gambles too much, but that's often seen in guys who make the jump from college to the NBA.
Right, and then when he's in the game, you're really looking for his defense, not so much his offense, right?
True.
Okay, so I got a question for you. Why wasn't he in there on the Nuggets' last possession?
Well, one, he hadn't played the entire game because Brett went with Ennis, who you can say, well, yes or no, and they did blow a 19-point lead in that fourth quarter. But I would not, me personally, if I had not already played Thibel at that point, I'm not throwing a rookie in on a final possession that is going to, you know, make or break that game. I'm not going to do that to the Kings.
Okay, but let me ask you another question. So you see the lead slipping away in the fourth quarter, right?
Right, you could change something up, absolutely.
Why not put him in with about 7-8 minutes left in the game and try to create something?
I'm absolutely agreeing with you.
Why didn't he do it? Like, what's his reasoning for not playing him?
I'm not Brett Brown. I can't answer that for you.
Yeah, but did anyone ask him why he didn't play Seibel at all that game?
Yes, he was asked afterwards, and his answer happened to be that he went with Ennis, who in the rotation, and that's kind of just how he left it. That was his answer.
Yeah, but the follow-up should have been, you saw the lead slipping away 8-9 minutes before that. Why didn't you put one of your best defensive players in the game then? That should have been the follow-up question. Why didn't he play him earlier is my question.
I can't answer that for you, Scott. I can't. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I can't. I'm not him. He also didn't play Kyle O'Quinn, who was 5 of 6 in less than 8 minutes of play in the second quarter and never saw another minute in the second half. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say.
But that's another thing I wanted to bring up. Don't you feel as though sometimes when Embiid's in the game, it sort of slows down the Sixers' offense? Because a lot of times when he gets the ball, he's so ball dominant, guys are standing around and he starts dribbling inside the paint and he doesn't see the double team soon enough. Look, and he turns it over. Look, I'm sure you've heard it all before, Dave. But my question is, I think Brett Brown has this philosophy, and it just doesn't seem to be working with Embiid or Simmons taking a shot. So why can't he somehow change up his philosophy at all with this guy? Because it's the same thing. I think their offense is a little stagnant when Embiid's in the game.
I don't know if I would say their offense is stagnant. I would say that Embiid chooses things offensively that when it works, we don't complain, but when it doesn't, it doesn't look good. For instance, the double team is so obvious that he hasn't learned how to pass out of a double team. And I would agree with you, that is coaching, in my opinion, because we know the double team is coming for this guy because he is that strong and that dominant and that talented. But you did start out saying they were very competitive, and then you went in this direction of now they're not.
Yeah, but listen, the only reason why I'm frustrated is when you see a guy with his talent, keep on doing the same mistake, 8 turnovers, D, in one game. If he has 5, they win that game.
Yeah, well, 5 still too high for me, but.
Well, 5 is still too high, but 8 is like crazy. So my point is, just because he's Joel Embiid, and he's turning the ball over at that high turnover rate.
Yep.
Right? Why not play a guy who's so smart with the ball and makes the right decisions when he has the ball, like a Kyle O'Quinn down the stretch?
Well, because you're not going to.
They didn't need offense. They didn't need offense at that point. They needed a few stops.
Well, he's your best defender. Come on, Scott. You know that. I appreciate the phone call. That they weren't getting stops? Absolutely. But that Joel Embiid makes them I mean, I can give you the numbers, and we'll see how this year plays out. But last year, they were the number one defensive team in the league when Joel Embiid was on the floor. And when he went to the bench, that number dropped to 25. There are 30 teams in this league, 1 to 25. So, you know, stop the bleeding. They gave up 35 points and only scored 13. Yes, there were definite problems happening there. I don't think taking Embiid out of the game. Now, should he have been more rested? Should he have looked fresher? Could you have put Kyle O'Quinn in early in that fourth to make Embiid's final 6 minutes or final 5 minutes more relevant? Sure. Why he didn't, I don't know. I don't have the luxury of being in Brett Brown's brain and being able to tell you. I can tell you that I listened to the post game, and I can tell you the Kyle O'Quinn did not come up, but the Thibault did. And I understand throwing a rookie into a situation now, this lead has already evaporated, and I probably wouldn't put a kid in that situation either. I probably wouldn't. I would go with experience. Experience let you down. I mean, that's truth of the matter. But we'll see how they do against the Hornets. The Hornets, by the way, last night they lost to the Pelicans at home. So they are in a back-to-back situation. They are a different roster than a year ago when they still had Kemba Walker. Their record is 4-5 thus far this season. So we shall see. Personally, I think that the Sixers come out, jump on them early, and pick up a victory that would improve their record to 6-3. By the way, when I talk about the division and the Celtics being 7-1, they have lost Gordon Hayward to a fractured hand, I think is how, anyhow, he's a broken hand. And the Raptors are dealing with their own injuries. Kyle Lowry has a broken thumb. He's out at least 2 weeks. And Ibaka is out indefinitely with a sprained ankle. So there is an opportunity to gain ground, certainly in the division, with other teams in your division dealing with pretty significant injuries. Now, obviously, Gordon Hayward got hurt yesterday, and the Celtics still picked up that victory. Jaylen Brown, I believe he finished with 31. So there could be others that could pick up the scoring, but Gordon Hayward, man, he can't catch a break. Ever since he joined the Celtics, he has been injury prone for sure. But where the Sixers are concerned, that is certainly an opportunity. They have a favorable schedule coming up, and then you have teams that are playing good basketball that have taken hits to key players on their roster. 610-632-0975. When it comes to the Sixers, one, I'm just prefacing that I do believe that this is a stretch where they will pick up a number of wins. Whether they go 5-0 over the next five games, but 4-1, I absolutely would say is a for sure, because they're better than the teams that they will be playing. And that's not even knowing which game Simmons will return for. And that's also not knowing if Joel Embiid will miss one of the two between Tuesday and Wednesday, which is a back-to-back situation. Still, I say, how do you feel about Embiid, Simmons, the two of them? Are they letting you down, or are you fine? Because so long as this team is a 55-plus win team, then they're doing their jobs and I'm okay. And right now, if you pick up these next two, that would put them on pace for 57 wins. And the next two are at home against the Hornets and the Cavs. How do you feel? 610-632-0975. D-lining with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This weekend's programming is brought to you by Bachman's Roofing, Building, and Remodeling. Quality and service, Bachman nails it every time. So in that commercial break, I was just checking out some NFL scores, and I enjoy listening to my neighbors on Sunday mornings talk about, you know, what they're going to bet and parlays and whatnot. And this is why I'm so not prepared for these kind of things, because I said one guy had a three-way parlay, and one of them was the Saints Falcons game, and I said, oh, that should be a no-brainer, right? And it was the Saints, and I think that was minus six. And the other one was the Chiefs, and I said, I'll take my chances with Patrick Mahomes coming back, right? And the other one was, can't remember now. Oh, gosh. Do you go back to the scores? Anyhow, the bottom line is the 1-7 Falcons are leading the Saints 23-9 on the road. And I say, how is that possible? But it is. But it is. And I'm looking at Drew Brees. He's 22 of 29. He doesn't have any interceptions. He also has no TDs, so. But it is just fascinating to me in the NFL week to week how things go and how things change drastically. It's always interesting, and it's easier for me when it's somebody else. So I said the Chiefs. I liked my chances with Patrick Mahomes. I thought the Saints were a no-brainer, and the other one was, oh, the Ravens and the Bengals. And the Ravens are crushing in that one, 49-13. And so the Bengals are going to be 0-9 at this point, and the Ravens will improve to 7-2 on the season. Yeah. Every Sunday is a fun day. If I were to say to you, who do the Hornets bring to town? Because for a long time, the most identifiable part of the Hornets was Kemba Walker, which is no longer the case. And so I was curious as to who their leading scorer would be. And it's a gentleman by the name of Devontae Graham, who I had to, you know, say, wow, I don't even know who he is. And he averages 18 points for them. I mentioned that they come to town 4-5. They lost last night 115-110 to the Pelicans. The Pelicans actually turned it over 26 times and still won that game. So I think if the Sixers come out and play the way we've seen them play in their first five wins of the season, that they will pretty handily be able to beat the Hornets. And if I'm speaking of lines, the Sixers are favored by 13.5. So that alone will tell you how people feel about the quality of the talent that Charlotte has compared to the Sixers, who will be without Ben Simmons for a second straight game, technically almost three, because he was limited in that Utah game where he actually sprained the shoulder. And it's not on the play where he was posting a guy up and bumped into the shoulder. It took place much earlier in the game. And it was on the play where he eventually fell to the floor and actually stayed on the floor for a while. But it was that play that caused his injury. So when I let's go to Charlotte and look at what they have to offer or what the Sixers can take advantage of. Devontae Graham is their starting point guard. He averages, as I mentioned, 18 points. He also averages 7 assists per game. Cody Zeller, leading rebounder, double digits, 10. Terry Rozier probably hasn't found his niche quite yet with them, but he comes in averaging 15. You know, the rest of their roster really doesn't, it's nothing to scare you at all. Miles Bridges, PJ Washington. You know, the Sixers should walk away with this one easily as a W, and they will be back on the winning track. So I was mentioning to you, is there anything that concerns you with the way the Sixers have played? And the last caller said, you know, hey, they played well and they played competitive basketball on a difficult West Coast swing. And that is true because they lost three of those four games by a total of 10 points. The only thing I will say a little concerning to me is the drop off in their defense. And somebody might point out that, well, Simmons hasn't played in the last game and a half, we'll say, game and three quarters. And before that, Embiid didn't play in two. So that changes who they are defensively. I'll say yes, but not for what I've been sold they're supposed to be defensively. And they're allowing teams to shoot better than 46% from the floor. Now, what has helped them is the fact that they are one of three teams in the league averaging double-digit steals. And for them, it's 10.6 per game. But I think it's dangerous to think you can make up for not staying with your guy, poor defense, and that I'm going to make up for that by getting in passing lanes and gambling, and because gambling has worked okay for you to this point. I don't know. I'd like to see them lock in a little better defensively because that's who they say they are and what their success will stem from. Defense will turn into offense. And I think that's one of the things that you haven't seen in the last couple of games. 610-632-0975. Joe, we'll come back to you on the other side to give you your full time. We will talk Sixers. We will talk Brett Brown. Is there anything that concerns you? Again, it's early. Eight games. They are 5-3. There are teams that have better records. There are also two teams in their division that took major injury hits over the last 2 days. So we'll talk about that on the other side. If you have concerns about the Sixers, give us a call, 610-632-0975. D-Line, I'm with you here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.